Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's okay, Patrice.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, everyone, Patrice Brind'Amour, ladies and gentlemen, and
Hi.
everyone else, Patrice
Woo!
Brind'Amour. Woo!
Ladies, gentlemen, non-binary people, aliens, anybody.
It's everybody. I don't care how many chromosomes, what your genetic makeup is. I don't care if you're
What universe you're
carbon-based,
from?
silicon-based. Right. Everyone is welcome.
Welcome to
Anyhow.
Earth 47.
Yes. You probably would have been better off at Earth 616, but
Yeah,
this is what you got.
exactly. That's where you ended up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a few people asking me, why do you keep saying interim? Because you've been hosting for what, like 5 years?
Something like that, yeah. Something like that.
Well, and it's because Ewan's the heart of all this,
Yeah, I mean,
and it, yeah.
at some point, I think you will have hosted more shows than you
That's possible.
it.
So, it's also kind of funny
Yeah.
for me to say I'm the interim host when
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
yeah, but I'm not going to stop.
Stop.
Yeah, Patrice, how's it going?
It's going. It's going.
Okay, that's fair.
My sleep is completely messed up because of the stupid bullshit that we do every fall, like all of us. Like Europe did it last Sunday, and US, or Northern America does it next Sunday. AKA the stupid let's change the clocks back because bullshit. Things on my sleep is like all over the place. I'm like, I'll wake up at like 6 a.m. and be like, oh, I can still sleep, and then next time I wake up it's like 8.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah.
oh, yeah. So I'm tired. I'm probably overtired right now, and if I'm babbling, that's why. No, that's just me normally.
It's great entertainment, Patrice.
Okay, that's fine. No, other than
Yeah.
that, good week. Nice week.
Awesome.
Busy week. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
I learned a lot
Well,
about Austrian air law yesterday, so if you want to
Oh,
know
fun.
something, I was like, yeah. Or the ICAO, like Chicago, the Chicago Treaty, and all of that fun stuff. EASA, if you're in Europe. All of the
That
fun things.
sounds cool to me.
Yeah, it was super
Yeah.
interesting. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, laws are usually not that fun, but it was actually quite interesting, so.
Laws aren't necessarily fun, but they can be really interesting.
Yeah, and errors and like not air not aerospace, but whatever. No, aerospace is actually the right word. Planes,
Okay.
planes, all of that.
Brains.
Brains.
Well, yeah.
Aerospace laws are actually quite interesting because it's like at some point, like in 1944, a lot of countries, excluding Germany, for I think obvious reasons,
Oh, yeah.
got together, and we're like, you know, when we're flying around and you look down, there's really no borders. It's kind of strange because usually, there's a border, there's a fence. We can have big fences on borders, but if you take a plane, it's hard to build a fence up there. So what do we do? And they came up with the Chicago Treaty, and with some exceptions, Taiwan, for example, and Liechtenstein, everybody, like 150 plus countries, have signed it, are following it.
Why Liechtenstein?
Very simple, or at least that's the explanation I've heard. They have no airport.
Okay, that makes sense. I was going to make a joke about by the time you enter Liechtenstein airspace, you've already left it.
Pretty much, yeah. Especially in a faster plane, yeah, that's gonna happen. Yeah, as I said, that's at least the explanation I've heard. I don't know if someone knows. It would be interesting to know. But I mean, in reality, they're simply managed by Switzerland. So in reality, they still follow EASA and ICAO ruled, ICAO, whatever. So yeah, but as I said, I learned about that yesterday. How are you doing? I know you have been, you've had a busy week.
I have had such a busy week, but in a fun way. So getting ready for an art show on Saturday. This will be the first time I'm actually putting my own art in an art show. And it's okay, so all the UK people are going to laugh because the names of places in Colorado are very unique, and it has to do
Drugs.
with drugs. Yes, yeah, drugs, and yeah, and our history as an area that was growing as mining communities, and so you'd get all these eccentric people. Anyhow, I'm going to be putting stuff for sale in an art show in Sugarloaf.
Sugarloaf.
Yes, it's a little
Sweet.
mountain town,
The sweet
outside
mountain
Boulder.
town.
Yeah, sweet, the sweet, sweet mountain town of Sugarloaf. And yeah, so the art that I'm making for this, I'm collaging just like cute looking birds, because this is something that will appeal to the people that are coming to the event. And yeah, so I'm having to make all these birds. So I'm cutting out all this paper by hand and gluing it all together. And so I'll have some originals available, and prints, and
Sounds
I
amazing.
think we'll have some greeting cards. It depends on timing for printing, because everything goes off to the printer later today, and they promise us they can do everything so that we'll have it by Friday afternoon
All right. Rush order,
for the
like within
Saturday
a day.
show. And well, it helps when you know a guy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, if you know a guy, then
Yeah.
yeah. You shared some with me, and it looked really cool. So, and this is
Yeah, and
not
it's
even the
for a good
final.
cause
Yeah,
also. Yeah.
it's not even the final product. So, looks
Yeah,
really
not the
amazing.
final product, and some of the proceeds from everything that gets sold will go to support the volunteer fire department. Now, a lot of the little mountain towns like that, their fire departments are all volunteer.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. Like smaller towns and whatever. Like if they usually have volunteer fire departments.
Yeah, so we're doing our part to help the volleys.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. And I mean, art shows are always fun. There's a bunch around here. I mean,
Yeah.
you can imagine Vienna, like a very artsy town, and there's tons of like little markets and art shows and stuff like that. I usually buy stuff for Christmas, whatever. Christmas presents for my mom and all of that, and it's usually art. She
Yeah.
has everything
No, I
else,
totally
so
get
it's
it.
like,
Yeah, there's a holiday art show. It's an annual holiday art show that comes up. Oh, geez, we're almost November. So actually, that one is early December,
Yeah, so in a month,
and yeah, for the
basically in a
month,
month.
and yeah, and everyone shows up to that because they're looking for holiday gifts.
Makes
So
sense.
I played support team last year for that one, but I'll have art in it this year. And yeah, there we go. Apparently, after all these years of creating all different kinds of art, I'm finally actually getting around to selling some.
Yeah, finally. You should
Finally.
finally, yes. Yeah, so basically what we're saying is if you're in the area, you should go to Sweetloaf, right? What's the place's name?
Sugarloaf
Sugarloaf. See, I already messed
on
it up.
Saturday.
On Saturday, and buy some of unique, like only like once in a lifetime opportunity, Jeff Gamet art.
There you go. And they're fun little birds. Like very stylized.
Yeah, I said they looked really amazing. I'm like, I'll
I'm
take one of
glad you like
each,
them.
please.
Sure thing. Let me finish them first.
Yeah, of course. You know, and then the whole shipping from the US is a bit of a problem, but
Okay, yeah, so there are some logistics to work out
yeah,
here.
exactly. No, but
But
it's that.
if I knew someone that was traveling from the United States to Vienna,
then
I could get some art to them to carry over.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Or anywhere in Europe, like really, because...
Or anywhere in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. There it's not that much of a problem anymore to ship something.
Yeah. Well, I do know people in Holland, but... Yeah,
it's not that far.
They're not here that often.
Yeah, that's... I mean, right now...
I could send stuff back with them.
Yeah. Right now, anyway, it's a problem anyway. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. I like artsy stuff. I don't do enough art, but I'm actually trying to catch up on Inktober. I stopped after the 6th, I think. Just travel and work and all of that got in the way. But I still am planning, even if it's in November, I want to do them all. I'm like, I'm a completionist probably, and I enjoy doing it. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, with all the art that I've been making for the show, it's been hard to keep up on October as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I mean, who's to say who's to say you can't do that in November or any time really?
That's true. Well, I'll probably do yesterday and today. After we're done recording, or before I get back into to working on my birds.
Yeah. Yeah, I might. I mean, I can usually do like 3, 4, 5 in a row sometimes, so I can catch up quickly. But I'm also in no rush. I'm like, I want to enjoy it, not rush to it. So.
Right. Yeah. If I'm not having fun, why do it?
Exactly. So it's okay. So if you haven't heard of Inktober, what is it? Inktober.com. It's a fun right. thing.
How about if I put a link into the live chat?
That is a great idea. Okay. And, should we do news thingies stuff?
We should, but before we do that, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Inktober.
Yes, because
so many people think it's the thing where just in October you get a new prompt each day and you draw about that.
That's what I thought.
There's also, well, there's more. There's Inktober 52.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And they do a prompt a week all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even then, I mean, as you said, or as we said, you can do it any month, any time, take the prompts and do it whenever you feel like it and just post it. Like, nobody says it has to be in October. It's just, October is a convenient time, it's a good marketing thing, but hey, if you're interested, if you want to do it, if you're having fun doing it, who cares?
Right. And it doesn't cost anything to do this.
Exactly. I mean, it's all, like, I mean, what are the rules? It's like... You take the prompt, draw whatever you want, and you share it. Sharing means anybody. Post it on the whatever with your family on the fridge, or share, like send it a text message to a friend, or post it on like social media, wherever that is. Like you decide basically.
Right, and if you see a prompt and you think I don't want to draw that.
Yeah.
Okay, draw what you want instead.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you could literally be like, today, I don't feel it. I'll do something else. Hey. Heck. But the prompts are usually actually pretty good because it's like, I always try to think outside of the box. Be like, I mean, sometimes the obvious thing is the right thing and sometimes outside of the box. So if you look at the prompt and you're like, I don't want to draw that. Start thinking, what could you draw that kind of still fits to that, but you would be interested in drawing it? And if nothing comes up, hey, do something else.
Like, yeah. And
nobody's your boss.
That's right. Nobody's your boss.
Yeah.
And if you're like, yeah, that's nice, but it's not doing it for me. There are websites out there.
Mm-hmm.
Designed just to do art prompt generating.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can give it some parameters and then it just creates lists for you.
Yeah.
I did that a couple years ago. I had a friend who wanted to do Inktober with me and her world just got too insane. And we get to the end of the month and she's like, oh crap, now I can do it, but it's over. And she was bummed. So I just went and used one of the art generator, prompt generator websites, made a
new month, basically.
A new list.
Yeah.
And so then we just shared that list And so did I did Inktober.
Inkvember.
And then I did Inkvember.
Yeah. 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 Also, I mean, also important, you can draw with whatever you want. You can use pencil, you can use pens, you can use iPads. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, draw. Have fun.
Right.
Watercolor, whatever you're interested in. Like.
Yeah. And a lot of the drawings that I'm doing, they are a gel pen.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Actually, more often, it's a fine point Sharpie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then sometimes it's a fountain pen.
Mm-hmm.
Or occasionally, it's other kinds of pens or colored pencils or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Go make art.
And if you think, oh, I, it sounds like fun, but I can't draw. Well, I mean, look at my drawings. It's
Everyone
about having
draw.
Fun. Exactly. Everybody can draw, and right. It's like, it's about having fun. So that even if you just show it to like a close friend or whatever, or your kid or whatever, like, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not that you have to publish it and a billion people have to see it. Right? Can be as small or as big as you want. So, but it's a good, I think it's also, it's fun and it's good practice. I always notice that I get better as I'm doing it.
That's how drawing works.
Yeah.
The people that are like, well, I can't draw, I don't know. I get it because you see all these amazing drawings.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I'm
intimidating.
Like,
but all of those people have been practicing for a really long time.
Yeah, that is true.
And I mean, that's what drawing is. It's practicing.
Yeah, yeah. I've personally always enjoyed it and would not say that I've been very good at it, but I also never cared. I was like, I enjoy it. Like, I have to like
that's
it.
That's what really matters.
I have to like it. If nobody else likes it, hey, it's their problem, not mine.
That's exactly right.
That's why I didn't like drawing in school sometimes, because you were graded on how good you were drawing. I'm like, bullshit.
And that's horrible. Yeah.
I'm like, I enjoyed doing this. And I got better at it.
Yeah. I get it. And that's just, that's so crappy.
Conveniently, my story is related to that. Like, leads nicely into
it. Patrice, I would love to hear about your story.
So, AI in schools, what could go wrong? That's my story for today.
Right.
Because, well, there was a school in Texas, or a school system kind of in Texas, a new method. Which was like, oh, like, let's ditch teachers and we'll just have kids use computers and they get surveilled and the AI basically, one, controls them, but also teaches them. That was the idea. You're thinking, and apparently Fowleys found it really interesting. They're like, hey, yeah, let's ditch teachers. That's a good idea.
Well, I mean, if what you're could in homeschooling, this concept sounds good on paper.
Yeah, it does. But only on paper.
But only on paper.
Only on paper, yeah. Unfortunately, the article is paywalled. I always hate that. But I thought in general still, I think it's an interesting thing because it turns out, well, the idea wasn't as good as they thought. The kids were getting stuck in lessons, and the software was making mistakes, or being like sometimes too hard. You had to whatever, like it was a 9-year-old, and she had to do like 3-digit number calculations 20 times without making any mistakes. So it was quite rough and like stuff like that. So, well, turns out maybe human beings better at teaching.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? Like empathy and shit, like that does matter. Like, or like tailoring things to the individual.
Right.
Having a human touch also, I think it's always different when you like have a person in front of you who cares about you versus there's a machine and it just tells you what to do. Don't know how you feel about that, but I would say that's in general preferred.
Yep. A lot of parents, I've read a little bit about this, so I'm just pulling some crap from my so good luck with that, people. A lot of parents were complaining that the way the system worked, it was essentially setting their kids up to fail. And that's literally the opposite of what you want in an education system. You want to find ways to set kids up to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that it can't be challenging. Like if you're basically always succeeding and there's no mistakes or whatever, and you're never failing at anything, okay, then you're maybe also not challenging your kids enough. Like for sure, you need a challenge. You have to sometimes fail and then learn from it and then do it correctly, right? A big part of learning is making mistakes. Like what we just talked about, drawing. Like you make a mistake in drawing and then like you fix it and you're like, okay, now I know how to do that properly, right?
Right. And how are you going to teach that with an AI education system?
Yeah. I mean, we could, but it's just harder. Like it's just because that's when human emotions of it are coming and kids get frustrated, right? And they might react negatively at first and be like, okay, this sucks, I don't want to do it. And then usually what a good teacher would be like, hey, come on, let's try it together and let's figure it out. And then they figure it out, right? That's a pretty normal human interaction you will have with kids. And yeah, that's not what a computer necessarily does, or even if it tries to do it, it doesn't do well, because it's just, that is human touch, human emotions.
Patrice, I remembered I had read an article that wasn't on Wired, and so a little bit of sleuthing, I found it was
thank
on
you.
Medium.
Thank you.
And it's by James O'Hagan. And the article, or the title of his post is, Alpha School's Other Story Wasn't in the Times, because the Times had done a glowing report about how this is amazing in the future.
Yeah, of course.
And his piece talks about the things that you've been saying.
Yeah, also things like when parents reached out to Alpha School and they said, well, it either works or it doesn't. Like, okay.
that's not school.
Yeah. It's like you pay a shit ton of money for it, and then it's like, well, doesn't work for your kid. Too bad. Go away. I mean, you know, this is typical, I want to call it, you could call it a startup mentality or tech bro mentality, where it's like, oh, we have a cool technology, let's apply it everywhere. and like the, you know, all the marketing bullshit is like, oh, it's 2.6 times better learning, or 10 times better learning from average scores and all of that. And you're like, yeah, okay, it's like, okay.
Yeah. I am a big fan, excuse me, of public education.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. As flawed as it is at times.
Yes, but any education system has its flaws.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's, you're dealing with humans, so nothing can be absolutely perfect. But I think there's just a lot more opportunities in public schools. It's in general, just because there can be so much more diversity, both in teaching styles and just people in general.
Yeah, there can be experiments to some extent, where like, okay,
right,
some teacher will be like, okay, this class is different than the previous class, so let's see what we can do to get them into this topic versus the other class that maybe got it right away. Yeah, that's the thing. As I said, there is need, I would say, for figuring out better ways. I don't think it is the best system. It's the best tips that we got, maybe.
It should always be evolving.
Yeah, changing, exactly. Improving. It should. Exactly. And there is better ways of doing things. And there is also in today's world with technology and with AI, it has to change. It's just maybe not. I mean, one, don't just replace teachers with AI and be like, hey, this is going to be fine.
Yeah,
and two,
possibly go wrong.
And two, I'm like, maybe don't use your children as guinea pigs.
There's that too.
There's that too.
The people that are creating these businesses,
mm-hmm.
and the people that really really get on board, like hardcore on board,
mm-hmm.
there, I think there's a correlation there where they maybe aren't seeing how the human element fits in, and you see this not just in places yeah. like the alpha system, but systems that generate, say, like LLM blog posts for people,
mm-hmm.
and or an article. You know when you're reading an AI generated article on a website, and you don't even have to understand why you know it's AI generated. You can just tell, and it's things like it says a lot, but it says nothing.
Yeah.
And it will use weird phrasing at times.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and anyhow, there's a bunch of telltale things that people pick up on. And the point is that while it can seem like a great thing, and things are generally improving, if you're not able to see where the problems are, then it's not going to be helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to blame the parents necessarily, because I think I can understand that parents might look at school systems and see the flaws and be like, okay, there must be a better way.
Right? Sure. I mean, that's reasonable.
That's reasonable. And I mean, I think I at least assume that for at least the vast majority, hopefully all, but I know it's not all parents, the best for their children is their kind of main goal. Some exceptions, but mostly usually that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, they probably thought they were doing something really good for the children. It's just maybe a little bit maybe a little bit naive. I don't know. Yeah. I also have a problem with, I mean, and I know that's a bigger philosophical question. For-profit education, I always find a little bit icky, because I'm like...
This is part of the reason why I'm a big advocate for public education.
Yeah.
Because once you make profit part of the mix,
mm-hmm.
eventually that becomes the core element.
Yeah. Which here, I mean, from at least what's in the article from Medium or whatever, seems to be the core problem. They were basically, I mean, one, they were pitching things not to the parents or the children. They were pitching it to investors and like, hey, there's an AI tutor that apparently some people then learned about afterwards. I'm like, yeah, okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't even like, it wasn't for the parent. It was just they wanted an investor for that or whatever. So it's just marketing. Mm-hmm. And basically when they said, oh, we need a little bit more, we need a little bit different or whatever, they were like, well, your problem, it either works or it doesn't. Like we have insert marketing speak proven track record, and if it's not working for you, then your kid is too dumb or too whatever. That's your problem. That's for profit, right? Because that is like if you're not making profit for them, if you're costing money or costing more money than they anticipated, you're a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're eating into their profit. So, I mean, shut up and pay. Kind of.
That's not a good educational environment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As I said, I'm very aware of the flaws of public systems, and I know there is really amazing alternative systems as well that are paid somehow, but they're not necessarily for profit. They're just, yeah, because they're not funded by the government. They have to make some money somehow, but the money basically goes into the school. Also a model.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, ideally, and so, we don't need that, but okay.
Yeah,
it's the system we have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Like, it's always, I mean, I have worked a summer at a private school. And it was interesting, I have to say. Like, I went to a public school in Germany. So that was my experience. And then I saw a private school in Germany. It was like, the Protestant church ran it.
Okay.
But it was like, yeah, paid for. I mean, it was an open school. Like, it was anybody, no matter what religion you believe in or not believe in, you could join. Like, you pay for it and you're in. They weren't very pushy. Like, it wasn't very always like a Catholic school. It's like all Catholic. No, it's like, it was a school with an attached church and actually a boarding school. But the school was a normal school in a sense, but it was privately paid. And that was really interesting to see. Like, I mean, the environment they got was actually quite nice. And they're very different how things were done. And I think very effective how things were done. I know that they had a lot of really good, like, the outcomes spoke for themselves. Like, the people that came out of, not everybody, there's idiots and assholes everywhere, but overall, they had a really good education there. So
that's nice.
Yeah. So as I said, I see that there is other ways of doing things and they do work. Yeah, this one maybe not.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Patrice.
Yeah.
My story.
Yes.
Sort of dovetails into this because it has to do with AI as well.
Oh, nice.
And my story probably isn't going to be that deep. It's just something I'm finding interesting, which tells me most people will be like, "That's nice for you, Jeff."
No, but we need stories that are not so deep. Like, sometimes you need also entertaining
stuff. All right. Well, this one, it's not an entertaining story, but it's not that deep.
Okay.
Figma.
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
So Figma just announced that they've bought Weavy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, discounting the fact that we live in a world where we say gibberish things, like Figma bought Weavy.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with these companies? Anyhow. So here's the deal. Weavy does AI image and video generation. And so you use this and you give it parameters and then it gives you like options to see what it's created based on those parameters. And then you can choose what you like and it keeps refining and refining until you get the thing that you want. It's a logical use or setup for use of that generative model. And Figma, they have, it's like an online design tool. And so they will now be rolling Weavy's features in, and it's going to be a new product ultimately where it's all together as one. And that'll be Figma Weave. So, yeah. There's that whole thing. The part for me that makes this really interesting,
yeah,
is that, remember, it wasn't that long ago, just a couple years ago, where Adobe was ready to drop serious money, like it's like $20 billion to buy Figma.
Yeah,
and
I
think it was the EU that shot it down.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
I'm something pretty like sure that. It wasn't the US that shot that one down.
Yeah.
But they probably would have, the EU just took care of it first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always better. Someone else did it. And, yeah. Look, we're not the bad guys. Someone else did it.
Yeah, hooray! And so the Adobe thing, they wanted the online platform. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, Figma would have been absorbed into other Adobe products, and Figma itself would have just disappeared.
Yeah.
And an online, at the time, tool that could compete on some level with what Adobe offers would have just simply gone away.
Yes.
And so now here we are a couple years later, and Figma, they're just picking up other companies.
Yeah. I mean,
they're building up their online platform to make it more versatile.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Figma is still, I mean, Figma has quite some market share and has quite some valuation, but it's still a, let's say, relatively small fish. It's not an Adobe yet.
Oh, sure.
But even at that scale, it becomes, I don't want to call it normal, but not unusual, that you acquire other companies, smaller companies.
Yes.
Like to extend your portfolio or to get some people or some like IP that you have, some technology that they might have, stuff like that. Like so this is exactly that. I mean, like, what does Figma need? You're creating, I mean, Figma's core business? It's basically creating, I won't call them mock-ups, like helping companies create products. Let's put it that way, in the easiest way. Doing easy, quick and easy, dummies, click dummies, something like that, or
like
mock-ups, stuff like that, helping them collaborate sometimes on products. And some of that is sometimes you just need media in there, like some placeholder media or something. You say, okay, this is roughly what it could look like without spending too much time or money, because it's like throwaway sometimes. It's just like, okay, this is what it could be. Mm-hmm. An AI-powered media generation company like Weavy fits in quite nicely, because that is literally what probably people would go to and be like, hey, okay, let's go to my favorite media generation tool or ChatGPT or something and have it generate something for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or have it generate a whole thing even. Why not? Be like, I mean, once you have a media generation, you could also be like, I need a click dummy that this, right? Could also be an option with this. So, hey, that's perfect. Perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Not good for them.
Yeah, and Weavy was only a year old.
Yeah, so I mean, you can imagine. I don't know, in AI the numbers are sometimes ridiculous, and like, I mean, if you see like some companies that have been sold within like 9 months or a year for ridiculous amounts of money. So I don't, did it say how much they got for it?
No,
probably undisclosed as usual.
Yeah, undisclosed amount. Yeah.
But this early on, and given how competitive the market is, I would not be surprised if this wasn't very expensive.
Yeah, I think that ultimately the creators of Weavy, the founders, I'm sure they made out fine in this deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the dream of most companies. Like, I mean, they might still have to stay around. I mean, the product for now will exist a standalone product and will then be integrated into the Figma Weave brand. Yeah, I mean, that's normal. Mm-hmm. It takes time. You can't do that. But it probably also means that the founders will probably stick around for a while. That's usually how deals like that work. They have to stay for a little, for the determined amount of time before they could exit. Unless Figma didn't want them and they're like, hey, you can go, here's your money. But usually, especially when the brand sticks around and the product sticks around, they also want the people to stick around.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Good for them. They made money out of nothing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reminds me of I'm just rewatching. What's it with words and names today? They just disappear. Silicon Valley. I'm just watching that again. I'm like, yeah, this, yes.
Startups. I haven't seen that show.
Okay, add it to the list.
Add it to the list. For those of you that are wondering what the list is,
the list
of shows that we have for Retro Rewatch.
Yes. Let me see. Is it on there already? Nope, add it. Silicon Valley. Okay, done. One more.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to, I mean, how are we on time? I could do another.
Oh, we have we have 19 minutes left. So.
Okay. I'll pick one more article. Let's go really highbrow. Let's talk about Grokipedia. Yes, it is as stupid as it sounds. Just saying.
Oh, some of the stuff that's going on with this. Oh my God.
Yeah. So for those of you who are not Elon Musk fanboys, so I heard of this for the first time today. But probably you already knew about it. But for everybody else, Elon was like, you know, Wikipedia sucks because it's I don't know what he said, but something like that. He probably said it sucks because it's leftist shit and it's like utopia and whatever. You know what we're going to do? We're going to destroy that and create our own. I don't know if he said that. I'm just assuming. Don't sue me. I'm joking, of course.
He probably said that, but in a much more inflammatory way, behind closed doors.
Okay, could also be. Who knows?
We're
speculating completely. But anyway, so XAI, which is Elon's AI company, has launched it now. Grokipedia. It's like Wikipedia, right? So that's the best you can say about it. It is about as simple as Wikipedia is. Like, it looks almost the same right now. It's very simplistic. It's like a big search bar. The entries look very basic, like Wikipedia. I mean, it's like Wikipedia. You cannot say that design is very advanced. It's functional. Which is fine.
Yeah, which I believe is part of the intent.
Yes, keep it simple.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, keep it simple. Yeah. By the way, Wikipedia is almost 25 years old. I think next year is their 25th anniversary.
Wow.
They were founded in 2001, as far as I know, at least. And it's always been publicly funded. So, like, a lot of course, bigger sponsors, some companies and governments, or whatever, giving money, or some other schools and other organizations, but also tons of small donors. Like, they ask every year for money, and they do a lot of really cool stuff, and it's all free. Heck, and it's complicated because, like, it's creating a, like, encyclopedia thing online with, given what we know how anything on the internet works, and having that be not a cesspool, somewhat accurate, it's never 100%, but accurate enough that people can rely on it, stuff like that is not easy. Requires a lot of volunteers, a lot of thinking, a lot of hard decisions sometimes, and sometimes angry people. But also sticking to that, to your guns, and saying, no, this is, we're doing it this way and not the way other people want. Right? Mm-hmm. And making the right decisions over 20 years, 25 years, so that it stays that way. It's also hard. It's so easy to make a wrong turn left or right, and then it ends up somewhere you didn't want it to. Right? So,
yep.
Yeah. So, Grokipedia. turns out, I mean, one, so far at least, there's no user editing, apparently. Supposedly, it is, anything that would be edited is fact-checked by Grok, which in itself is a questionable thing.
It's kind of funny.
It's like, And I mean, a lot of the content right now is just straight up copied. At least looks like it. I mean, it's apparently in some pages it even says so. Like there was one in the article, that where it's like, oh, this was copied from Wikipedia under the Creative Commons Attribution Share like 4.0 license. So, how exactly is this better?
Okay, here's where it's better. Okay, from a certain point of view.
Okay.
If you are right wing, like very right wing,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the content is
you can filter. You can filter, right? You can say this is what I accept and this is what I not accept. Sure, like you can make your own decisions.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah, so for fair. So for fair. People that want to have a more right leaning perspective.
Okay.
On the content.
Sure. Fair.
Wikipedia will do that.
Yeah.
And it's
okay. I mean, yeah. Okay. I can understand that on some level. On the other level, I disagree because I'm like, facts should not be left or right leaning. But okay.
I agree. And the problem here is that some of the information they're providing, right leaning, is obviously. Racist, misogynistic, anti-LGBTQ, and it appears that's an intentional choice.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's XAI's platform. They can make whatever choices they want. Not my problem.
Doesn't mean I have to use their platform.
Exactly. Doesn't mean I have to use their platform. And as I said, I mean. It's a free, hopefully still free country, free world. You can do this, right? That's mm-hmm. That's why. Like, I mean, Wikipedia makes their content available for free. So that means you also have the right to copy it if you give the attribution. Yeah, it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So free means free. So okay. Yeah, I'm
humans vetting humans for content.
Yes, yeah, I said it's okay. I mean, I'm struggling to see how this is better, but okay. That if someone thinks it's better for them, then hey, power to them.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. You just hit it. It's some people will perceive this as better for themselves.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean it's a superior product. It's just. What they prefer.
Yeah, okay. Well, as long as it doesn't bother me, I'm like, I don't care. By the way, Lauren Dickinson, she's a spokesperson for the Wikimedia Foundation, which is behind Wikipedia, the foundation. She says, even Grokipedia needs Wikipedia to exist.
Yeah, so, how about that?
Yeah. There's at the end of the article, there's a more fuller statement where she basically says, that, yeah, I mean, there's been so many, she said Wikipedia's knowledge is and will always be human. It's like through collaboration and consensus and like people from different backgrounds, building a neutral living record of human understanding. It's like facts and not left or right interpretations of facts. That's why it's also non-profit and why it's independent. And like she said, like many experiments to create alternative versions of Wikipedia have happened before. It doesn't interfere with our work or our mission as we approach Wikipedia's 25th anniversary. Wikipedia will continue focusing on providing free, trustworthy knowledge built by its dedicated volunteer community. And yeah, go to the website. So... Yeah, she took the high road. She was like, hey, go do it. It's been done before. I mean, this is definitely not the first time this something like that happened.
Yeah, I can distill what she's saying down pretty succinctly.
Okay.
And what she's saying is, look.
Good luck.
Stuff like this has come before and it has gone before.
Yeah.
And you can't even remember the names of those other services.
It's true.
It's been here all along.
I'm thinking, like, what other services did we have? The last thing I remember, but that was before Wikipedia, was what was it called? Microsoft Encarta, I think.
Oh my gosh, Encarta!
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. And like, of course, like that was before times. Like, came on DVDs or CDs, I think.
It was CDs at first.
Yeah, and then DVDs later. It got more content. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as I said, that we had before, but afterwards, I'm like, I don't remember anything other than that. There were for sure approaches, but I don't remember any of them.
Wikipedia petition.
Yeah. I bet Bing or Google or whatever, someone tried something.
Yeah. Okay, so it's funny because doing a Google search on Wikipedia competition brings up some news articles. Well, the first thing is Wikipedia webpage about how they sometimes do contests. So there's a couple of Wikipedia entries, and then it's news about Grokopedia.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's back to Wikipedia articles.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here about companies other than Grokopedia right now.
I have some. Encyclopedia Britannica Online is one. Still exists. Scholarpedia.
Oh, okay.
Citizendium. It was actually started by...
Never heard of it.
Co-founder of the Wiki of Wikipedia. And Grokopedia is mentioned. And then also, like, what do we have here? Some niche wikis. But, yeah. Info, please. Was one. Encyclopedia.com. But they all disappeared.
They're all gone. Okay, yeah. A lot of people forget that there's another huge part of Wikipedia that they can tap into, and that's Wikimedia.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you use it automatically.
That's a super useful resource.
You use it automatically when you're using Wikipedia because all the media content is from Wikimedia, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the images and videos and whatever. Mostly images. But yeah, you can use that. Especially for any free project, it's sometimes a good resource. Schoolwork, all of that.
Yep.
Give it credit, and then I asked Perplexity for historical attempts. So Encarta was one, Deletionpedia, it was archive Wikipedia articles. Okay, this is related. Citizendium I mentioned. Everything too. Okay, Encyclopedia Libre, the fork of a Spanish Wikipedia from 2002. Brockhaus, World Brockhaus and World Book Encyclopedia. American National Biography Online. So, disappeared. All of those disappeared.
I remember Encarta.
Encarta, Brockhaus I remember as books. Like, big. My grandma's boyfriend had that. Like shelves full of like big Brockhaus expensive books that were basically outdated by the time he got them.
Yes.
But okay. Yeah, there's a couple services on the web that for me still are shining beacons of the hope that once was in the internet. Wikipedia is one. Archive, mm-hmm. The web archive is another.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, yeah. That's it. We need more.
We
need more. There's probably more.
I don't think Wikipedia is the answer.
No.
But...
No. To be fair, I would say GitHub is another these days.
GitHub, okay.
I mean, it is a commercial company, but they're offering a lot of good free services. I mean, they have an archive. Actually, some of my projects are part of the archive that's stored in some vault in Iceland, I think. Like, where they store important, I don't know why my projects are important, but they store important open source projects. Yeah, I would say anything open source is probably the other. Like, the Linux kernel is probably another good example. Yeah, so there is still good things, but Grokpedia, not really. It has obviously not a lot to do with Grokpedia. I think it's just commercial companies and
that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, speaking of open source, stuff like that.
On hey, that down, that... on that down note.
On that down note, hey, everyone have a great day.
On that bombshell.
No, we do have an awesome live stream.
We do.
Set up.
Yes, also
and,
open source.
And we are using open source tools mm-hmm. for that. Is that that's correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's own. Actually, I mean, yeah. a lot of them. I mean, actually, basically everything we're running. Owncast is the tool that we're using, but there's like mm-hmm. we have Nginx, we have WordPress, of course. For, like we have tons of open source tools we're using. But yeah, Owncast is really cool. Like it's our live stream. If you want to go there, Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time to watch this very show. This is cool. It's like it's a free version. Servers paid by our sponsor. We'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. And then we run it ourselves. Like it's we don't need YouTube, we don't need any of the big platforms. We run our content, we own our content. Yeah, and it's easy to use. Like you can literally have the video on the left, the chat on the right. There's like if you join it, using Newman for example, joined the chat earlier, and then left again, and then joined again, and then left again. But there's like. It generates funny names. You can change it. Go up top, purple button, say change name. You'll have a infallible Lamport. I just saw here. Yeah, also funny. Yeah, change the name. You don't have to use them, but I actually find them usually quite amusing. And that's it. We have a transcript, also powered by open source tools, to say. Mm-hmm. Everything gets sent live as we're posting it to a transcript that we have on our servers. Then you can go back, and you can go back all the way to, what was it, 2015, I think? June 2015, I think? Yeah. So 10 years. Can go back and see all the important historical discussions we didn't have in our chats. Yeah. We talked about other not-so-important things. But yeah, but you can see, like, all the... If you want to know what was interesting to us in, whatever, 2015, go back to the big show somewhere in 2015, and later, like I said, started in June somewhere, and have a look. You will be amazed what we thought was important back 10 years ago.
Bless our hearts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. But as I said, it is actually sometimes quite funny to just go back and have a look at the chat and be like, wow, these are the articles people talked about back then. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot that we'd look at in those early mm-hmm. chats
mm-hmm.
where we'd say, wow, things are really different now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other parts better, where worse, we'd say sure. it's still the same.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes you look at an article like, yeah, either they predicted the future or still the same. Yeah. By the way, if you want to see today's chat with the links we just talked about, today's mm-hmm. date you have to pick on bridgetechnetwork.com/chat. That's where the transcript ends up. And if you pick October 30th, 2025... Wow, time is running. It's almost Christmas. Wow. Yeah, then that's when you will see everything we talked about. Wow, I just lost track of my own thought.
It's like, all right. Poof! You caught back up.
Poof, it just disappeared. I had to catch up with it.
All right, well, Patrice, when you said, wow, it's almost Christmas, it triggered a memory of seeing... people from the United States
mm-hmm.
asking someone from Europe,
mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what country, what they like to eat for Thanksgiving. And they meant U.S. Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
and were completely shocked to find out that this was not a holiday outside the United States. I mean,
yes.
There's the Canadian Thanksgiving, which is a different date. But
so
yeah.
So here's the thing. It Thanksgiving as a public holiday, the way US does it, no, it doesn't exist. But there is a lot of Thanksgiving-like things that happen. It's called, in German, Erntedank, so Thanksgiving. Well, it's more thanking for the harvest.
Okay.
Thanking for the harvest, but it's the same principle. And yeah, there were like feasts and parties, and like there's a lot of traditions around. It's the same thing with Halloween. People think, oh, Halloween is an American invention. It's like, it's not.
No, it is not.
It's not. It's like we had that in Europe way before that. It was not called Halloween, but yeah, it's not. So no, I actually like Thanksgiving a lot. I mean, the overeating or whatever we can skip, but the food.
Well,
is
great. That's very American.
That's very American, but kind of not. I mean, it's kind of the idea, right? You just like you've been working on the fields all year basically. You've just finished your harvest and whatever, like all the food stores are full. You have so much food available. You've worked really hard, and now is the time to party. And you eat way too much. I would say that's pretty universal and probably a long running tradition. There's a lot of food related fall festivals here. All the wine festivals are basically that. Oh, like wine is available. Let's have a party and get drunk and eat too much food. Yeah, same idea.
Okay, I'm on board.
Yeah, what is Oktoberfest? Hey, we have new beer. Let's get drunk and have tons of food and party. Yeah, same thing. Like as I said, I think it's just human nature of, yeah, okay, we did a lot of work and now we should celebrate.
And we are social animals.
Like we are. Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's why I'm a big fan of Halloween and a big fan of also Thanksgiving. I'm like, those are cool things. Don't need Black Friday to be honest. That's a different story. But
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. But Halloween and Thanksgiving, I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I actually would like to have like Thanksgiving here. Actually, I'm planning on having Thanksgiving party here, in Vienna, because there is actually Thanksgiving events here. We have so many Americans.
That makes sense.
But I like it as a break between the year and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We start Christmas here, feels like in August. the Christmas candy, I've been able to buy them since mid-August.
I'm trying to remember when the Christmas decorations for sale went out in Costco, and I want to say it was August. It might have been September, but I mean, it was definitely before October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Yeah. I literally bought Christmas decorations today. So just saying, really cool. Wow. I don't know how we got off topic from our chat, but yes.
That's how we roll, Patrice.
Yes. Yeah. Brain just goes bloop.
Well, I should tell everyone about the sponsor.
Yes. That's the
deck. And that's Awe Technologies. And as Patrice said earlier, they're covering the expenses for everything we need to live stream and host the website and the show files. Without what they are doing for us, we wouldn't be able to do all this because it does take money. So we're super excited that Awe Technologies is doing that for us. For those of you that haven't been paying attention, Awe Technologies is a company that does the on-site monitoring for whatever your project is that you're building. They specialize in railroads, but they do the other stuff too. And they have like all the video equipment, so you can have your remote views in and everything. They do what you need to be able to monitor your site. And so check them out. Awe Technologies, that's awetechnologies.co.uk. And hey, thanks Awe Technologies for being here for us. How about we do cool things and then call it a day?
Yes, let's do that. So you want to start because I have to find the link.
Sure, I can start. And this is something that I came across a few days ago, and thought was pretty cool. You know the whole Lego Ideas project where you come up with a build that you think would be really cool for Lego to actually produce and sell. You get it all designed, you put it on the Lego Ideas website, and then you need to get votes. And if you get enough votes within the window for voting, then your project goes into a pool where they evaluate it, and then they pick the projects that they think will make a good projects for actual production, and then ultimately you get to buy the project. You can go into a store and buy a kit, and that's how I've gotten several Lego kits. It's from people that submitted something to Ideas. So this one is the Serenity Firefly spaceship from the TV show Firefly. And I've seen a lot of custom builds where people have designed their own thing, and some of them are like really big. This one is a manageable size, and you can even open it up and see inside. So it has like their dining room area and the engine room and the cockpit and the little shuttles that pop out the side, the cargo bay. And it's a very cool design. And so there's still, like, as we record, 500 days, I think, something like that, to vote for it. And it's getting there. It has, I don't know, like 3,500, 3,800, something like that, votes, and you need to have 10,000 votes. And so they're making progress. So there's still time to get in and vote and say, yeah, I want to see this one be a kit. And then hopefully Lego will decide to go for it. The project needs to be something that's practical to actually put together. And they need to have the licensing for the property if it's not something you've just invented out of whole cloth. And if they get all the pieces to come together, then there you go. Might get a new kit. And I think it
That's
would be
cool.
pretty cool to have the Serenity from Firefly.
That would actually, yeah, that would be actually quite cool. Like, I mean, yeah, Firefly was a fun show. I watched it and I was like, but it's a really cool, like, Lego kit, I have to say.
It looks really nice. Yeah, and Firefly was a really good show. It's unfortunate that it had to wrap up much earlier than it should have, but Fox didn't understand what they had and had no idea what to do with it.
And I mean, it has 3,500 supporters. It needs five. So I mean, another 1,400.
Oh,
I
it
think we
needs
can make
five.
it.
Oh, okay.
It says for 541 days left to get 5K supporters.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 10,000, but 5,000, that's even
It's ten
better. Okay.
thousand. Went. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
Ten. T but it says 10K. I don't know. But at least. Okay, I don't understand. Maybe it needs 10,000. You might be right. You know better than me, probably. But at least it says 541 days to go to 5K. I think it has to reach a certain number by a certain time, otherwise it gets dropped.
Well, I'm going to log into my Lego account and support this one.
As I said, maybe we need another 6,396, but or 95 with you. But hey. It's not that much. There's probably more Firefly fans that also like Lego that could support this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
And
I'm actually waiting for a kit that I got from our company. So,
Oh, fun.
spaceship. It's like one of those 3-in-1s. Space, like a space shuttle, astronaut, and I don't remember what the third one. I think a robot, some sort or something.
Oh, like one of the 3-in-1 kits?
They're
Oh,
really
that's
fun.
very cool.
So I have to decide which one I want to build. Probably the space shuttle, but what if we know?
And
That's cool.
so cool. All right. Well, with that, then, oh, hold on. I'm logged in. support this idea.
Yay.
Done. Oh, look at that. 3,605.
Yay.
That was me.
That was you. So I'll create an account and also support it just for the sake of supporting it.
Cool. Okay, and now I get a pop-up that says just 1,395 supporters away from the next milestone.
Yeah, okay. And then there's, I think, 10,000 is probably the one you need to put. Okay, good.
All right.
We're not that far away from the 5K.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's make it happen. Can't take the sky from me.
Yeah.
All right.
So my cool thing is something mm-hmm. I've been... So I think I mentioned it last week's show? I don't even remember. Like, was it this week? Was it last week? I was at the Matrix conference. Long story short, my brain doesn't work. I was at the Matrix conference beginning of October, mid of October,
mm-hmm.
and Strasbourg. And Matrix is a protocol. Actually, I looked it up. It was created by MDocs, a US telecom company, and then spun out, and then they stopped funding, and then they created a UK-based company called Elements, which is the company I'm working with at work quite a lot. Really cool people. Hi, Amandine, by the way. She was a founder.
Oh,
she
hi,
was
Lee.
Amandine is her name.
Amandine?
Amandine, yeah. She was one of the creators of this. One of the founders of Element. So
all right,
she's
well,
fun.
That's super cool. I'm sorry.
No.
In my head, I heard Emily.
Emily,
and,
yes. Amandine. I think a French name. But yeah, it's a cool protocol. It is becoming more and more important. Like in the US, there's a bunch, especially government-funded things that work on that. And in Europe, it's becoming majorly important. There's projects left, right, and center. Like the European Union is doing things. Some militaries are working on it because it's a distributed chat. It's literally a federated mm-hmm. chat system. So anybody, you can run it on your phone, and if the internet's down or whatever, it can still have all the messages and queue them up and then send them out when you have connections again. Shit like that. Or if someone tries to, there's no central server, right? So everyone can be their own server, so it's pretty hard to destroy that. So
you could just spin up your own private
server.
Chat system.
Yeah, that's how it started. That was the original idea. That would run on small scale, you run it at home or whatever. Every router, there's one or whatever. You could do shit like that. It's very small. Mm-hmm. Scaled up to quite a big bit. I mean, Europe in Germany, for example, I think the biggest insurance company, so all the insurance companies, the public insurance companies in Germany, are using a Matrix-based chat for their insured people and to talk to doctors and pharmacies and whatever. And that is pretty big, for Matrix, because it's 80 million users-ish, 70, 67. Mm-hmm. I think insured is probably 60 or something. That's pretty big. I think the biggest insurance company has about 27 million. So, not saying everybody's using it because it's Germany. So, it's really I don't need this shit. It's too modern. But it is available if people want to use it. Anyway.
It's too modern.
It's too modern. Yeah, no, it's Germany. They still send faxes, so just saying. That's my cool thing, Matrix chats, because I just spun up there's matrix.org, which is the big chat instance from the Matrix Foundation. You can just literally go in, sign up, and they host it and they pay for it. And it's paid by, you can it's again like Wikipedia, the Matrix Foundation is volunteer based, and it's people can give money whenever they want. There's some big company sponsoring, also from the medical field, but also Automatic, for example, is a big, actually a very big sponsor of Matrix. I think one of the biggest even. Mm. Element, of course, these days, because they're a commercial company, but they also still support at least a lot of with manpower as well. And also they host servers for free and whatever. Long story short, I just spun up my own instance and I'm going to use it instead of Slack as my control center, because I've had for years my own Slack workspace with news articles and notifications from servers and all of that, kind of my control center, everything coming together. And you can do really cool shit. I have a chat now that I can drop a YouTube link in, and it automatically downloads it on my server that I can watch it later. For example.
That's cool.
Shit like that, where I have seen people do stuff with, like, it posts, like, the bot posts things in a channel about your home. Like, I don't know, it's this hot or that hot, and you can send it a command and it executes it in, like, a home assistant or something. Can do a lot of cool shit. And it's a really good chat, I have to say. Fully end-to-end encrypted, and really means end-to-end encrypted, not like the other, like WhatsApp or whatever, is kind of pretending to be end-to-end encrypted. And it kind of is, but kind of, yeah, limited, yeah. I would call it.
Yeah.
This is free. This is open source. This is free. This is, you could, anybody can look at it. Anybody can participate. There's some stupid smart people working on the encryption topics. Like, I've talked to them and I'm like, oh, wow. There's hackers and, like, people working for, like, military and whatever in there, trying to improve the security of things, because they're, of course, interested in that. That's a really interesting group. So, long story short, Matrix. Go. There's many different ways. There's many different clients, of course, with anything open source. There's different servers you can install, but the big one is Synapse right now, which is the Element one, official in air quotes one. But there's others. If you want to, Matrix is a protocol. If you want to implement your own, like, go for it. And people have done that. So there's other options. Cool. Definitely not something that you, actually, it's not that hard to install these days, but you need some technical skills probably to do that. Actually, so didn't there, take me very apps? Long. There's, I mean, there's, the clients, like, are apps. Apps. Yeah, yeah. Like Element X is, for example, one. Can just download it. It's like, works. There's others. There's tons of others. Fluffy Chat is one I remember. There's more. There's a whole lot more. Yeah, just look for Matrix chat clients and pick the one you like the best. There's different flavors. They all do the same. It's just a matter of which one do you like. Like email clients. All email clients kind of do the same thing, but you can pick the one that
even
you
have
like.
They have a web page on the Matrix site for clients.
Yeah. So pick one that you want. This is it. And you don't need your own instance. You can literally just sign up for free on matrix.org. And then if you want to reach me, patrice:brandomore.net. Because they have colon instead of at. But it's the same thing. So I'll throw it here in the chat. Patrice.
Awesome.
Okay. This is me. Send me a message. That's it.
Oh, wow.
That's my
cool
thing.
There's a bunch of apps out there.
Yeah. It's been around for 10, 11 years, I think. But it's last, how would I say, 3 years maybe, it's blown up quite a lot. This year, they had the Matrix conference was the first one that didn't, like, that didn't lose money on. They need sponsors. Like, I'm just not kidding. Like, if you're a bigger company, think about that. It's worthwhile, like, to support this. It's a really good protocol. Like, it is actually quite good. And they're working, like, on post quantum encryption and all of the good stuff that you need. So they're good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I feel lame. I feel like I should have known about this and, like, been in the loop on this a long time ago.
Yeah.
There is
so many.
I learn new things every day.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there is so many. I mean, there's Signal, there's WhatsApp, there's, what's the Facebook thingy called? Facebook Messenger, is it still the name? I don't know.
Facebook Messenger is still
a
thing.
There's still a thing. iMessage, the Google thing that I forgot the name of. There is many things. So I'm not surprised that you don't know about this. That if you're in an industry that is very security conscious, you've heard of this, I guess, because that is one way of doing this. That's it. That's why the medical and especially the public sector is so much into this, because as I said, it kind of ticks all the boxes and checks all the boxes. Like, it's free, it can be easily audited, like, it's interoperable. Even if Germany decided to then close that, but make it interoperable within the country only on top of Matrix, but yeah, okay, they can do that. Which was, by the way, also just my talk that I talked about. to not do that, please. Okay, cool. That's my cool thing.
All right, well, looks like I'm going to start learning more about metrics.
Yeah. You know someone now.
Cool. I know a gal.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Well, look, I'm all choked up just thinking about everything that I'm learning. Wow. Hey, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week on this very network, the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, everything I'm doing, social media links, podcast projects, and soon I have to write that blog post about my experiences at the Matrix conference and a link to the video, or actually I might just embed it, stuff like that. By the way, thank you to the Chaos Computer Club for recording the videos and providing them for free. Cool.
You were telling me about them. They sound like super cool people.
They're really cool people, I have to say.
So, like hi, Chaos Computer Club.
Yeah, it's called the VOC, I think, VOC, I think. That's the group that was there to do the video recordings. I think they're called VOC.
All right.
Might be wrong. I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but that is already, was a really cool crew. Cool people. Yes. Anyway, thepatrice.com takes you there. That is my website. And then we have a cool show called Retro Rewatch, us two.
Mm-hmm.
This could have almost been a Retro Rewatch special edition, but I think it doesn't fit thematically. But sometimes we've done cross posts. We rewatch retro TV shows, talk about it. We are currently rewatching Stargate SG-1, or have been for a while. Tomorrow, season 3, episode 11 of Stargate SG-1, or our rewatch of that, will be out, which is Past and Present.
Yes.
Yes. Def, of course, now remembers what it is about because now he's seen it.
I have seen it.
No, he hadn't seen it before we recorded the episode. Well, actually, no. When we recorded the episode, you had seen it, of course, because you watched it for that episode. But before that, you had never seen it before. Yeah.
Yep.
And we're still collecting ideas for the season 3 break. We take a break to kind of expand a little bit, do something else, and kind of have a little bit, build up a little bit excitement about how is this cliffhanger going to get concluded.
Mm-hmm.
So we always do that. Hey, if you have ideas what we could watch, let us know. We just collected another
one. Yes, please. So. Yeah. Well, I'm just doing my part to make sure that we can have content for many years on Retro Rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, by retroactively realizing, oh, look at all these shows I didn't watch, so that we'll have content in the future.
Yeah, we have so much content. We can do this for the next decades, I think. Just looking at this, I'm like, there's a lot.
There's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so then for me, Jay Gambit on the various social medias. Mostly active on Mastodon, on Blue Sky, and Pixel Fed right now. And that's where you can go find my Inktober drawings too.
Mm-hmm.
Then shows. Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here for the Big Show on the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice just pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch together.
Mm.
And with that, Patrice, it's now time for us to wrap up the show. And this has been so much fun. And look at that. Even with just the two of us, we can still make the show run over.
Oh, we do, yes.
Go us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I look at it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this has been super fun. So thank you, Patrice. Also, thank you to everyone that's watching and listening live, participating in the live chat, or watching and listening to the recordings later on. Thank you all for being part of this. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thank you for being here and supporting us. And okay, so with that, everyone, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show.
Mm.
And then come back again next Thursday for the Big Show. And all of you have an awesome week.